Welcome to Saving Animals with Blank Park Zoo. I'm Jessie Lowry, Director of Conservation and Research, and we have a very special guest with us here today, Nikki Dunbar, and she is an assistant naturalist at Polk County Conservation. So welcome, Nikki.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's really great to have you back. Before we get started with Nikki, I always like to kind of set the foundation for the show and talk about why this podcast and radio show is called Saving Animals with Blank Park Zoo. Kind of the modern role of accredited zoos. So Blank Park Zoo, the mission is to inspire an appreciation of the natural world through conservation, education, research, and recreation. What I like to say the zoo is, though, is a window to the wild, a place where we can invite the community and families and classrooms to come to the zoo, have a fun, affordable day out. We've surveyed our audience, and we know that's what they're looking for, a fun, affordable day out with their family. And while they're here seeing all the amazing animals we have here at Blank Park Zoo, we want to inspire them to make some kind of change in their own life that's going to help wild populations of animals survive and thrive. And we've got 500,000 people a year in our audience. So even though we're a small zoo, we like to call it an intimate zoo, we still feel that we have a big opportunity and even responsibility to get those messages out for conservation. We are in the midst of the sixth mass extinction. We have not lost animals to extinction this rapidly since the loss of the dinosaurs. But there's one thing that's different about this extinction. It's caused by humans. And we know that we are forever changing the landscape and the face of the earth through habitat destruction and population increase and global climate change. But it's really not all doom and gloom. If we are some of the cause of species decline, we can also be the solution. And it just always reminds me of Jane Goodall's quote, my favorite quote, that, and I'm not going to say it verbatim, but every day we make an impact on the earth. It's up to us whether that impact is positive or negative. And I'm really interested, and the zoo has really been working on making sure our projects align with the science of behavior change. So we're asking people to make these small changes in their lives, and it really can add up to a lot. And so some of the ways that Blank Park Zoo kind of is leading the way with conservation efforts is we work to be as sustainable as we possibly can through our business operations, because we know especially the products that we consume, especially single-use plastic, really has a direct impact on Iowa's native wildlife as well as wildlife beyond. And we encourage our audience to do so as well. Please look on the zoo's website at blankparkzoo.com and look up our Stomp the Straw campaign. And you and your family can sign a pledge to end your use of single-use plastic straws. We also support field organizations, which is those organizations and people out on the front lines working to save animals in their natural habitat. And we work with every animal from giraffe in Namibia with Giraffe Conservation Foundation to snow leopards in Mongolia with Snow Leopard Trust to hornbills in Thailand through Hornbill Research Foundation. And each year we support about 10 to 12 different organizations. And really, the whole point of this is I want everyone to know that just by visiting the zoo, you're helping to save animals as well, because the way that we fund all of these conservation efforts is through a portion of every dollar that we make goes to save animals in the wild. And so that means that just by visiting the zoo, coming and having that fun day out with your family, you're actually doing something that makes a big difference to wildlife. And it's definitely not too late. And people and organizations all over the world are banding together to make these positive changes. And we're just really excited to be a part of the solution. And if you think about all of the environmental problems and issues that are happening with the world, you know, the old adage, think global, act local, is really, really true to what Blank Park Zoo believes can lead to the greatest impact for conservation. And so it's really important to find out what's happening in your local area and try to make an impact. And for Blank Park Zoo, we have our pollinator conservation program, Plant Grow Fly, which we'll talk about here with Nikki, and our Iowa Hunters Leading the Way program to encourage the use of non-lead ammunition in the state's conservation hunting activities. And you can find out both more about both of those at blankparkzoo.com. And so when I'm thinking about local conservation, Polk County Conservation is a leader in central Iowa and beyond. And they've got some fun programs. They've got a new nature center, and they stole one of my former interns. And so I wanted to get Nikki Dunbar back here. Nikki, again, welcome to the show. It's great to have you back at the zoo.
Thank you. Yeah, it's nice to be back. I do miss it here, but I am having a lot of fun over at Polk County Conservation as well.
Yay, we miss your smiling face.
Thank you.
So Nikki was my conservation intern several months ago. And first, why don't we talk about just your background, where are you from, and what inspired you to become the conservationist that you are?
All right. Well, I'm actually from the West Des Moines area. I've lived there most of my life. And went to school in the West Des Moines area. Then I went to DMACC for a couple years in hopes to actually get more into filmmaking, which was a little bit different. But there was a biology class that I took that really kind of changed me the other direction. And I remembered just how fun it was learning about animals, learning about the environment. And then decided to go to Iowa State for an animal ecology degree and double majored in biology, just so I had a stronger background on the diversity of organisms out there. And it was really incredible to go through the schooling of it, learned so much, not just about the biology of it, but ways to save them and manage the land that we have locally and globally. So, yeah.
I'm so excited to see you living your passion and getting this job at Polk County, because I know what an amazing job you did here at Blank Park Zoo. And it was just, I know your internship went by super fast, but let's talk about just really quickly some of the projects that you worked on here at the zoo.
Yeah. Well, I got to help out a lot with the Iowa Hunters leading the way. We worked together to call and see what people offered to begin with and if they would be willing to offer copper or tin instead of lead. So that was interesting, seeing who offered what to begin with and kind of, I don't know, getting a background of everything, because not even I knew a lot of the, you know, hunting conservation practices. So
I'll give listeners a little bit more background on that.
Yeah,
I think it was Nikki's first or second day. And I said, okay, let's get started. I would like you to call every single ammunition retailer in the state. And she did it with a smile. And so you called every ammunition retailer and asked them if they had any non-lead ammunition, because, and folks can look on our website, I know that many listeners are aware that lead fragments on impact, it's one of the most common projectiles used in deer hunting, which is a conservation activity in the state, of course, and it's inadvertently left in the field via the gut pile. And so it's easy to switch. You can switch to copper, you can switch to steel, and more retailers are really bringing that on to their shelves. And you helped us really develop that campaign and outreach system and got it out to a lot more folks. And we are riding the wave of that support right now. And so that's been a really great, great thing that you did for conservation here at Blank Park Zoo. So what is your role at Polk County now?
Well, as an assistant naturalist, I concentrate mostly on the programming, and we do programming for all ages, a lot of subjects as well. So it'll be as young as 2 and 3 year olds to all the way to the senior ages. And we'll do a lot of ecology programming, so teaching people about the wildlife that lives in our state. We'll do conservation, so how to save that and actually go out and do conservation practices sometime, which is kind of nice. So maybe not me particularly, but at the organization, they do seed harvesting a lot, which is really great. We do recreational activities a lot as well. So kind of teach them to get out and enjoy the parks that we have and go out even further than that. So we do a lot of kayaking, archery, survival skills, stuff like that. It's actually really fun.
That sounds like an amazing array of programs that you have. What is the mission of Polk County Conservation, and what is the overall goal? I feel like I know what it is, you know, connecting people to nature, but what are you guys working towards with all of these amazing programs?
We really just aspire to let people enjoy the outdoors. So in terms of recreation, a lot of times, so getting out hiking and just enjoying that nature, conservation education is a big portion of it, and just kind of protecting our natural heritage here. Really important.
Because people have to be educated about the resources and to be able to protect it, to be able to care.
Exactly.
And we know, especially with kids, you know, getting them connected to nature and away from their iPads and the TV is something that's really important and will help grow them up into conservationists.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't have land to go, you know, a pond to go kayaking in, and don't know where the best trails are. And so you guys, I feel like, are kind of like that bridge to nature. You know, if we're a window to the wild, you guys are kind of like a bridge to nature.
We call ourselves the gateway to the outdoors.
I knew there was something like that.
Yes.
See, the marketing is working. I had something similar in my mind. That is amazing. And so tell us about the specific programs that you do, Nikki.
Yeah, well, this week, for instance, I have coming up some of my favorite programs, which I love to talk about spiders, actually. In general, the animals that are most misunderstood are the ones that I love to talk about, because as an adult, people, you know, their whole lives they've been used to being scared of that animal, but they're not really sure why. And so I try to get to the kids and talk to them about why they're so important, why they're so amazing. So I get to talk about spiders this week. I'm very excited.
So tell listeners why spiders are so important.
Oh, spiders are so important, first and foremost, for us, pest control, of course. They eat so many insects that we consider to be very pesky, including mosquitoes. They eat lots of mosquitoes. And, you know, they really do form an important spot in the food web as well. So other animals eat them, and that's important too.
So how do you, what ages and how do you teach kids about the spiders? Do you have spiders that you show them?
Yes, we actually have a few educational animals that we love to bring out when we can. We do have a tarantula, which is obviously not native to Iowa. It's a Chilean rosehair tarantula, and she's super cute. really good for programming. These spiders are actually really popular as pets as well. And that's why I like to show people, like, hey, you can even hold spiders. And sometimes we'll have volunteers come up, and, you know, it's really awesome to see when a child holds a tarantula for the first time, and their eyes just grow so big, and they're just like, I can't believe I'm holding a spider right now. So it's really exciting. We also use a lot of educational material. So we do a lot of books, especially for the younger groups. We'll do puppets a lot of times as well. And we have even some really accurate pictures and diagrams of how things work. And we have one of a spider that shows just everything that's inside, how it's all connected, which is really cool. And that would be used for older groups of students.
That sounds so fun. I was a zookeeper for years, and I was the Egyptian fruit bat keeper for years. And I kind of had the same experiences where kids and family members would walk through the bat cave, and I'd be inside the bat cave, you know, feeding the bats and giving them water. And then the kids would have wide eyes, and they'd come up and they'd want to look. And then sometimes the parents would squeal and hurry the kids away. And so then I would quickly have to get out of the exhibit and say, everybody stop. Come back here and learn about these amazing bats. Of course, the bats that we have here native in Iowa are not fruit bats, but the bats here in Iowa also have that really important, reason for being here, and it partly is to eat mosquitoes.
Right.
And the fruit bats are amazing, and so it's that learning, it's that time to teach. It's a teachable moment.
Yes.
So what other programs besides the spiders do you do?
We actually do a couple of endangered species programs as well, which is actually very applicable to Iowa, because we do have multiple threatened endangered species that need saving, need help. And so that's always good to connect it back. We even have a few of those species. We have a speckled king snake, which is a threatened species in Iowa. And we actually got her from someone was trying to sell her at a pet shop, but
oh my goodness,
she was confiscated, and now she has a lovely home at our office, and she's a really great teaching tool, actually. And we also have an ornate box turtle. So we'll do all sorts of reptile programs, amphibian programs. We'll go through the different groups of animals. I spend a lot of time doing those recreational activities as well. We do fire building and survival. We do archery and air rifle as well. And in terms of public programming, it can really go, it can span anything, really. I actually have a program coming up in a couple of weeks that is free and no registration required. It is called Seeing Stars, and it's all about kind of how our solar system formed, what's so unique about our planets, and kind of what stars to look for, what awesome celestial objects you can see in the November fall night sky. So
that sounds amazing. So I have a 4-year-old daughter, and she's just learning to read right now. And last night we were reading some books, and of course her words right now are like M-A-P, map, C-A-T, cat. And so I was talking to her about how exciting it is to be able to read and how she can learn whatever she wants to learn about. And my husband and I said, so what do you want to read about? What do you want to learn about? And she said space. Ooh. So we are so excited to go to the library, get some space books. I think Santa might be bringing a telescope for Christmas, and this is going to like open up a whole new world. And so we'll have to see if we can check out that program.
Yes, yes, definitely come if you can. It'll be really exciting. We do have a telescope, but only one. And there were over 500 people on Facebook that said they were interested in going to the program. So we'll see the kind of turnout we have. We have, of course, spotting scopes as well. People are free to bring their own telescopes and binoculars, and naked eye stargazing is awesome as well. You can still see a lot, which is very cool.
So I'm also really interested in your survival programs. Yeah. Can you spend just a few minutes and give us some survival tips?
Oh, gosh.
Because I think, you know, like, do you go over building a fire and, like, how to use a compass or what kind of things do you go over?
I'm a little bit newer to some of the stuff here. I've been just learning this year, but it's very exciting. I do a lot of fire building programs with kids and just easy ways to, if they were backpacking, maybe they could prepare themselves. It's always good to be prepared. And there are certain items that you would always want to have with you. Matches in an airtight container would be one of them. Just keeping warm. The cold is kind of what kills. So staying dry, keeping warm, that's always really important. Keeping things like a pocket knife on you, that's awesome it's an awesome tool to help, you know, break down sticks, or if you need to, I don't know, just end up cutting some sort of material that you could use as a shelter. We do shelter building a lot with kids, all ages. And I actually we had a field trip with 7th graders that came out, and they did all sorts of service projects for us, which were amazing. They were helping us clean fire pits and clear invasive species. And for fun, we got to do the shelter building. But it was also helping to kind of group up those piles of wood so it'd be easier to do controlled burns in the forest.
That sounds so fun. I participated in, I think it was called something like Becoming an Outdoor Woman. I'm not sure if that's exactly which one it was, but it was in Warren County last year. And they had a campfire cooking class. And you would think, okay, well, there's just really nothing to, you know, cooking around the campfire. It's just basic stuff. But if you're really backpacking, you know, there's some definite tips that will help you not only pack things that you're going to want to eat, especially if you're out for multiple days, but also remember those old little film canisters for cameras. Like if you've got any of those sitting around, or little pill bottles, you can put spices and other things in there, and you know, how to bring eggs with you and all of this stuff. And it was really interesting. And then of course they've got the wide array of all of the cool tools and, you know, camping pots and pans and stuff that costs a lot of money but would make it super light in your backpack. And I just thought that was really, really fun. And I would love to do some backpacking when Elena gets a little bit older.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. That's exciting stuff. And yeah, packing light can be really difficult sometimes. Mm-hmm. So it's always good to go over the little tips and tricks that someone might be offering. So
exactly.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
We have partnered with Polk County Conservation for years and years and years. Probably our biggest collaboration is Plant Grow Fly, where we encourage everyone from single pots on porches to entire prairie restorations to plant some kind of pollinator habitat. And basically, an official plant grow fly garden has to include at least one host plant and at least one nectar plant off of our special list. And our special list was made for multiple reasons, because they are host plants for butterflies, which means it's the only plant their caterpillars can eat, the only plant that the adult butterflies can lay the eggs on, because they're prolific nectar producers, because they're native to the area, and because they'll thrive in a backyard garden. And so you can go on blankparkzoo.com or look up plant grow fly and see what would thrive in your backyard garden. And we've got almost 1,200 gardens registered with the project so far. And Polk County Conservation has been our partner since the beginning. And so that's been really fun to partner on that project, because everybody loves butterflies. And I know you guys do a lot with prairie seed harvesting and restoration. And even out at your new nature centers, do you have some pollinator habitat around the new nature center?
Yeah, we are working on that right now. We just did a seed for the winter just to have something grow. And then next year, hoping to actually really bring that prairie back up. We did have to disturb some of it while building the area. But we're excited because it's going to be all prairie around us. It's going to be so beautiful. And yeah, I would like to see it. I just wish we could fast forward to next year where it's fully grown.
Oh, I know. And let's see, the old adage for prairie restorations is, the first year they sleep, the second year they creep, and the third year they leap. So
yes,
please help and, you know, manage everyone's expectations. I'm sure that there's a lot of experts at Polk County about prairies, but it will take a while for that to look really nice. I know I was there this past summer for your big event with the big fire. What's it called?
Glow Wild.
Yes, and it had rained so hard the days before it, and I was so impressed with you guys. You just put down straw, and you put down these little, you know, like walkways, and everybody wore their muck boots, and it was a super fun event. But what I was thinking at that time is just looking around, it was like kind of like a blank slate, you know?
Yes.
And I was excited to see what you guys did with that. So make sure you register with Plant Grow Fly, and we'll get you a big sign to put out there too.
Yeah,
so
sounds great. I know we have a lot of the gardens already throughout a lot of our parks, so that's exciting. And yeah, it'd be nice to have another sign.
Yeah,
and we've been moving a lot of the soil around just the past 2 weeks, actually, so we finally flattened it out. Which is good. It looks much better.
Good. Tell us more about the new nature center.
It is going so well. Our Jester Park Nature Center just opened up in August, so we're working out some of the kinks still, but I think overall it is doing just great. Our exhibit room experiences almost 300 visitors a day, depending on the day of the week. So it's now that school has started, it's more popular on the weekends. We get all ages coming out as well. We have a lot of people wanting to rent out our rooms a lot of times and just asking us like, hey, can we get more programming? Can we get more programming? So we heard that call and we're like almost doubling our programming for next year. We're going to have a lot of stuff, which is super exciting. A lot of it will be out of our nature center. A lot of it will be out of the building that's next door, our outdoor rec and wellness center as well. So that will be more crafty stuff, the more messy activities.
So tell us what amenities there are out at the Nature Center. So I know there's like the kids room, which has the puppets and a display about prairies. And I think you can see maybe some of the education animals in there. And is there like a room to rent out? And what else can you do at the Nature Center?
Yeah, it's upstairs. We have a nice viewing area, which you can sit around the fire and you can honestly, you can just sit there and relax, or I don't know, maybe you can do some other activities up there as well.
So is there a fire every day? Because I'm so going there to hang out. It's very cozy.
It is extremely cozy. Yeah, we've been actually kind of breaking in our fire place. So we've had it on a lot for several hours a day just to kind of break it in. And yeah, we'll probably have it going a lot this winter.
Good.
We have in our exhibit room, we do have those three separate displays, which recognize the three different habitats in Iowa: wetland, prairie, and woodland. And they're completely interactive with touch screens and pull-up slides and drawers, and you can crawl through. It's really exciting.
And there's a surprise when you crawl through. What is the surprise?
In the prairie, there are two more, actually, little displays down there that you can crawl. I don't know. Should I leave it a secret?
Yeah, let's leave it a secret. But my 4-year-old daughter was just so excited when she crawled through there. And then, of course, I had to crawl through there, but that's okay. It was worth it.
People get really excited about that one.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Off to the left of it, we have our bird viewing area, which has some rocking chairs. It's a nice comfy area. And we just put in our bird feeder. So we're hoping to see a lot of birds around that area. In the hallway off to the right of there, we have what's called Exploration Hallway, which has 3 major exhibits, which are actually portable, which are kind of nice. And we can actually switch out the stuff that we put inside. So we have 3 animals right now, pelican, coyote, and turkey. And it tells you all about, you know, kind of their behaviors, their lifestyle, their characteristics, but we'll probably switch that up every couple months. We also do have those classrooms, which it can be one large or it can be divided into 3, and those actually can be rented out as well for any activity you need.
That sounds amazing. Mm-hmm. On one of those cold, snowy days, then you will see my family out there and I will be by the fire.
Yes.
So I cannot wait for that. So how do people find out more information on like the Nature Center's hours and things like that?
Yeah, you can go to our website. You can type in Jester Park Nature Center on Google and find it easily that way. There's also information on Polk County Conservation's website. We also have stuff on our Facebook pages as well. So we have a Polk County Conservation Facebook page as well as a Jester Park Nature Center.
We've just got a couple minutes left. Can you tell us about some of the new programs that you guys are planning for next year?
Yeah. Well, actually, there have been some new series that just started. So for adults, one of the naturalists has been doing it's Women with Wine in the Woods. Obviously, 21 and over. But it's a great way to meet new ladies out that are interested in the same things that you are. And each month will be a different theme. I'm not exactly sure which day of the month it is.
Hopefully everyone knows how to use a compass for those nights. Just saying.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. They went for a hike last time, but all really awesome reviews for it, which was good. I kind of want to go to one myself.
Yeah.
We also have Toddler Tales, which is great for the really young children to come out and see a puppet show and then do a nature-themed activity in the classroom. And we have other things going on, lots of free programs. Coffee and Chat is one of them, another series that will happen every month where you can come out, meet a naturalist and another Polk County employee, and just talk about whatever it is you want to talk about. Any questions that you might have, any concerns, even if it's not concerning the organization, but just in general, mm-hmm. like, and the environment.
Mm-hmm.
Always really welcoming to come out there and learn more about that. And next year, I mean, I'll be doing stuff that's newer for myself, but I don't know. I'm still deciding. I do want to do a breakfast cooking for around the campfire. I thought that would be pretty interesting. And I don't know, maybe herping, which is looking for reptiles and amphibians. That would be pretty cool. And I don't know, a couple other. They're kind of slipping my mind right now, but lots of fun stuff to come.
That sounds really amazing. I'm sure whatever you come up with is going to be great. We're so thankful to have you here today, Nikki. Thank you for all your work saving animals and the environment and for all the work that you've done for Blank Park Zoo.
Thank you so much.
Please go to blankparkzoo.com to find out special events and all of our conservation programs that we support here at Blank Park Zoo. That's all of the time that we have for today. Please join us next time on Saving Animals with Blank Park Zoo.